IVM.
Stories, we've got stories. They're a little bit of funny and a little bit of dissimilar. You wanna hear them? It's got humans. They're sitting in a box and talking old Edward all live.
Naveen?
Akash?
Vartalab.
Yes.
That is completely stolen from Radiolab, by the way. That's exactly how they do it.
Who cares?
I know, right?
Half of the listeners don't care about Radiolab.
Oh, man. I really wish they did, though. It's my favorite show.
I wish they did, too. But then, like, here we are.
Ripping them off.
And still pulling it off.
Love it.
We are cooler.
Welcome to Vartalab, guys.
Yes.
It's nice to be. It's season 3-ish. I think we should call it 3-ish. Yeah, because it's not going to be a 4.
So. 3 seasons and a movie. I watch for that.
A Vartalab movie? Podcast movie?
Yeah.
That's just every podcast is as long as a movie anyway.
Dude, I'm telling you, like, one of us will either die or become too famous.
Uh-huh.
And then there'll be documentary crew, like, unraveling this. That's the movie.
What happened?
Yes.
Behind the sets of Vartalab.
Yeah.
Today we have a guest. We have another musician. We have a bunch of musicians this season, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell this to you, despite having recorded only 2 so far, because, you know, musicians are fun. And this one actually was interesting. Well, last year, if you remember, around this time, around May, mm-hmm. beginning of May, I was new into the IVM family. So they let me be on whatever I wanted somewhat. So when I found out that Geek Fruit was doing the May the 4th thing, I was like, I have to be on this podcast. And I went, and it turns out, I don't know if you know this, but the Dinkar and the Tejas from the podcast are the musician, the Dinkar and the Tejas.
I knew it all along.
I didn't know. And I found out in the middle of the podcast.
I know, I saw your face. I was there.
I was like, tum log wahi hai. And then after that, of course, you know, Tejas eventually came on the podcast and I keep hounding him for something or the other. And Tejas, though, we met, he came on the podcast. And
yes.
But Dinkar, we could not get. So this time we have got.
Yeah.
And it turns out, after we got Dinkar, I asked Dinkar about his life and it turns out it's the same story as Tejas.
Yeah, so we're not doing the episode.
We're not doing the episode.
It's cancelled.
Yeah,
yeah. Vartalab is cancelled. It's 2019, get with it. But anyways,
hold on. Sorry, I can't hear myself.
Sorry, Dinkar. Hi, Dinkar. Welcome to the show, etc.
What's up, guys?
Hey, yeah, nice to have you.
Nice to have me here.
The tables have turned.
I mean, essentially, if you play the Tejas episode back, but then tweak it slightly, it's the same thing. So,
yeah, no? Yeah. I love it. I love this. But I like that you have worn a Contra t-shirt to the recording, which Tejas had not won anything nearly as impressive.
Yeah.
Really?
I think you win that.
I mean, we have pretty much the same overlapping collection of geeky t-shirts.
Oh, so do you switch? Like, do you wear each other's t-shirts and stuff?
I don't think that would work, but yeah, a lot of the times we might end
How
up,
different are you size-wise?
I think he's like an M and M and L.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Tejas is petite.
Yeah,
he's petite. That is the correct. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that's the word that describes him.
That's the word that
but
describes him.
But here we are.
Yeah, sorry,
let's talk about him for a second.
Yeah, I'm so sorry, Dinkar.
Dinkar is also known as Bone Broke.
I'm also known as Bone
Broke. Stage name.
Yes.
And you do Chip Review.
I do. That is the thing that I'm hoping really takes off for me. I'm not that interested in the music anymore. It's all about the reviews of chips.
Damn. Actually, I've been following some of those reviews and they're really good, dude. I actually send your account to people when they ask me what chakna to get.
You're the one fan.
I think there are more, dude, because it's, see our camera guy, Anuj in the back.
Actually, Anuj and you might be the two only fans. No, I started the entire thing as a scam to get people to send me chips and it's working. It's people will be going abroad now and they'll send me pictures of like giant supermarket I was going like, bull, kya chahiye? And I'm like, all of it.
Wow. Oh my God, I'm going to
it's
do this
generally
well. This is great. Yeah.
And because when you first started it, I'm like, there's only like 5 chips in India.
Yeah,
like, there's Diamond, there's Lay's, there's Kurkure.
There's way more than 5.
There's Balaji.
There's Balaji. There's Haldiram's.
Balaji is underrated, by the way.
Yeah,
definitely
totally agree.
Balaji.
It's but like once in a while, they'll have like one potato chip, which is like a rotten potato, and I'm like, I can tell your scam. Like, I know how this goes. It's like how people make ketchup, right? Where there's like
pumpkin instead of tomatoes.
No, it's like a billion rotten tomatoes.
I didn't know that for the longest time.
Yeah,
that it's pumpkin.
Even in Mangola and Maza and stuff.
Huh.
Yeah, they put pumpkin as a thickening agent.
Yeah.
That is so
Who
weird.
Wants a spiced latte when you can
Because nobody wants a pumpkin as a pumpkin. They're like, let's just camouflage it as something.
Even when we have a pumpkin, we like, carve your insides out and make you look funny for other people. Poor pumpkins, sir. I feel for them.
But yeah, so back to Dinkar.
Kaddu.
Anyway, so what I was saying was, I've basically started the Chip Review as a scam to get free stuff. I think that's also why we started Geek Fruit. It's really just a scam to get free.
Yeah, that's why I started comedy also.
Yeah.
What free stuff do you get as a comedian? Everything. Mattel, freaking comedians.
Hey man,
with giant
not if you're on this side of the fence, man.
I mean, like, it has
I think
folks.
Both you guys have crossed over. You're the mainstream now.
We are the influencers now.
You are influencers.
Yeah. I would not say so. I got one thing only till now, which is I got a box from
Hot
Mattel.
Wheels.
Yeah, Hot Wheels.
Yeah. Oh, even
Avengers
I got that.
Themed, see?
Oh my God. See? Did you get one individually? Because the three of us at Geek Fruit got one box.
Yeah. Oh, so you all took one thing?
No, I kept the whole thing.
For a review afterwards.
Yeah.
I personally don't think I could even... Like, whenever I have gotten stuff from people, an office has a bunch of stuff that we've gotten from here and there, but it always just gets given away. Like, it's never... I've never kept any of it.
Like, surprisingly, since 2018, it's the... For me, at least, like, you know, because initially I was like, what is this me talking about being queer on stage? Nobody's going to give a fuck about a gay comic and everything. And then eventually, I was like, okay, it's going to reap its benefits. And my manager, Nanak, would keep saying that, you know, eventually... When the Section 377 bill is gone, they'll look out for queer people to like really latch on to in terms of marketing their shit. Like every brand just needs like a gateway to go for the pink money.
Yeah.
Right? So it's called pink money, by the way.
It actually is.
Yeah. The more you know. So so we were like, okay, we'll work on it. And then I kept working on my comedy, put more material out, and did more events. But can you stop picking the coffee mug up? Every time you bang the mic,
sorry.
It's annoying me right now. I'm sorry. I'm on the verge. But so
now I feel like I created my
hilarious because like you were rude to me, but Dinkar was like, I don't know if I should do this anymore.
Like, that might have been directed at me. I'm not.
Can everybody stop drinking coffee, please?
You okay. Curved the bullet.
Where is yours? Is yours done? Okay, I'll drink yours.
It's because you have long arms, But
oh God, it has sugar.
Huh. Yes, it got the sugar free though. It's worse.
That's worse, yeah.
But
that's the pumpkin of sugars.
So basically, around that time, OnePlus was launching OnePlus 6T, and they were like, okay, we want to... The whole theme is never change. So we have to like find people who never change as queer people, of course. And then the brand was integrated and everything. I was happy because I got money.
I got a new phone. By the way, you're doing a terrible job.
I'll never settle, actually. Yeah. I'm a terrible brand ambassador. But yeah, I got a phone, a new OnePlus 6 and all of that.
That's wonderful.
And then around that time, what else I got? I got from TVF, the tripling show, I got a whole bag of goodies, which was amazing. And I don't care about anything else.
The one that's like a giant bus or something.
A car box. And they were like expecting me to go to the premiere and like basically like, you know, live tweet and all of that shit.
I haven't ever been asked to do any of this ever.
Just like be nice to people next time, Akash.
I'm nice only.
But I don't know, I was surprised myself I got that in the first place. And then recently, like, I got the Levi's show, which I was doing, which
was
was prequel to Fire One Day. And I got,
I don't know if that's not influencer. They're not giving away stuff for you, they're having you do something meaningful, so that's different. All of these.
Yeah,
maybe
like,
tripling day, it was a giveaway, but Levi's is making you do some pretty cool stuff. So that's fine.
That's true.
And like you also, you're an endorser.
Cool stuff and being like, yeah, you're working for them like a gada majuri. But like, actually, you're getting something.
I think you're using them to push your message, which is cool.
Yes, we're both pushing
also,
each other.
Also, isn't Robert Downey Jr. the new OnePlus guy? So they've stepped down from you.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's the OnePlus 7 guy.
Oh,
he's endorsing.
Now that he's like,
so
dead.
Like after the after Naveen Narayan, they're like, Abhi, how can we top this?
Yeah,
only
had to get Iron Man.
Yeah,
to top you.
But like, I am Naveen Narayan. How can we stand?
Doesn't work.
But yeah,
so Dinkar, now usually we ask the guest about their life and all. But so you were in Dubai.
I grew up in Dubai. Yeah, I mean, Sharjah for everyone, once you come here, it's all the same. Gulf.
Yeah.
So yeah, I grew up in Dubai. Then I moved to Nagpur.
Okay, wow.
At 17, I was doing, I did engineering there at an NIT. It was great. Loved it. Best time of my life. Dropped out after a year. And then I moved to Pune. And there I studied English and I got into... like filming stuff and things like that.
Yeah.
And then I moved to Bombay where I started working in the ad industry. And doing music stuff.
Nice.
That's a quick
It's very concise.
Yeah, this feels like
they just took a half to tell us this.
He took up half his episode telling you essentially
But I think he laid the groundwork for your story also.
Pretty much. It's literally exactly the same thing. Like I was saying, we've lived in all the same places all our lives, and we met only once we got to Bombay.
How so? Like, what was the other instances?
Well, we found, okay, how we actually first met each other was, I had just put out music as Bone Bro. I just moved to Bombay, put out a couple of songs, and Tejas and I were featured on the same compilation, Stupidities from back in the day, run by the now late Rishu Singh. But, so we kind of knew of each other, and out of the blue, Tejas, who was finishing his final year of college at the time, got in touch with me, and he wanted to use my music for his student film. So he wrote me this like absolute fanboy for letter. You like, you guys have met Tejas. You know how like gushing he can be. So it's like a 3-paragraph long
letter. Never been gushing about... over me, so wouldn't know.
Yeah, we gushed over him last time.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Okay, imagine that. But the other way. But basically he was like, man, your music is so awesome. I've made a film and there's no way I can complete it unless I have your song in it. So I'm like, yeah, man, sure. Whatever. Take this song. After that, I can't really say no. So yeah, sent him the song. We never met because he was in Pune at the time. But like 6 months later, I used to film these shows that used to happen in Mehboob called Live from the Console.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, my friend Rafael used to run those.
Oh, yeah? Nice. They were great shows, man. I missed that gig. It was the best. But yeah, I was filming that and Tejas had come down from Pune to do like an acoustic set there. And I had the same moment you had and I was like, same Tejas. So yeah, we met there and since then it's been like...
It's been pretty tight.
Yeah, actually, no, we actually, we knew each other pretty well, but ever since we started Geek Fruit, basically, now we pretty much live the exact same lives.
Yeah, that's what podcasts end up being like. We were Naveen and me also, it's like the one point where we always come back together, wherever our jobs are
taking
us.
That's because they're so long. A podcast takes up roughly 80% of a day. You're doing one.
And our lives sometimes. And that's why. Lives, yeah. People are like, when will season 3 come back? It's, you don't know the hard work we have to put into this. Like, just turn up at a studio and sit down and talk.
Oh, it's different for your podcast. Yeah. Our podcast, we don't do it season-wise. So people go like, shouldn't you take a break around now?
You have a goodie box. Like, stop talking.
but I think now we're not doing season. Now we're doing every Monday.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Forever. Until you die.
Until you die. Or one of the company, one of us.
Yeah, like you never know. Like it could be either. You know, there's this one one animated series that I got commissioned to write back in 2014. It's called Raju Rickshaw. So Raju Rickshaw has been picked up by, I think, about 4 animation companies till now. And all 4 have shut down.
Wow.
Before it could come to fruition. And all of them write me a letter saying, Akash, I think you can keep the IP. I don't think we are going to be working on this anymore because my laptop is being taken away from me.
Oh, that's crazy though.
Yeah, it's damn nice. Now I found an animator from Pune. So me and Taranga.
And you're doing it yourself.
Yeah, might as well.
Because it sounds like a cool name though. So.
It's a space based.
Sweet. It's a rickshaw that works in space.
It's a space rickshaw.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Man, rickshaws are always cool. When I was in college, me and a friend of mine tried really hard to, when this was when I moved to Pune, I was obviously in one of the 85 Simbis that are there.
Yeah.
I was in the one that was up on a hill and we had this brilliant idea to buy a rickshaw just because we thought it would be cool as shit to drive around in a rickshaw.
Yeah. Right.
It turned out to be way more expensive than any other mode of transport.
Yeah.
Because, I had no idea. I was like, rickshaw, it's like, who pays for a rickshaw? I'm sure you can get one for like 25,000 bucks. Turns out it's like a lakh and a half.
Yeah.
And then you pay like triple that for a license. So we took rickshaws to school, but not our own.
you can get one with regular this thing though, number plate.
We inquired about this proper. What we were told was, if you want a rickshaw that is not going to be plying on the roads and taking passengers, there's like a separate license for it. It's like a private use license which is really expensive.
Oh,
and a pain to get. Like, you have to explain why you would want a rickshaw in the first place.
That makes sense though. Anybody who buys a rickshaw should be questioned thoroughly.
Yeah, like, why exactly are you doing this?
My uncle had one for some reason. It was just there. Like, he never drove a rickshaw. He was always a farmer. This is in Mangalore, okay? And we would go to his house and every time, like, we would have to step out. And he lives in, like, under some cliff, okay? You have to, like, really
go... Under a cliff?
As in, like, it's a proper turn. Huh. And then, like, in the valley's lap, it's a beautiful place, by the way.
Aye.
It's just like there's a river gushing and there's like a farm over there. It's perfect.
And pigs.
And one rickshaw. Solitary rickshaw.
And so,
this
like,
is like Thanos' farm.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, whenever I went there, like, his son and me both are fat, okay? And his wife is also fat. So, like, three of us fatties
in the back
seat. And uncle is like fucking thing. Okay, even the garage he keeps it in is just like enough for the rickshaw and for him to go inside. That's when uncle's super thin. Okay, and so now like he's trying his best to take us up the valley, and all three of us are just like sitting behind, and none of us wants to move, and they won't let me move because I'm the kid from Bombay who's like, you know, for them I'm like the privileged one.
Yeah.
Whereas they don't know I go by share rickshaw in Bombay.
Yeah.
So like, so I get off first. I'm like, let me get, but still not going up. So I'm like, how do I do it with his family anyways? Because I'm not here half the year, or all the year maybe. So they have to do this every time, right? I assume that somebody has to like get off every time. So it was quite embarrassing.
I bet it's the son. He gets off and he pushes it.
Yeah. Then they send him to become a priest. So like now I think it's fine.
Oh, wow.
I was pushing people up to God.
Yeah.
I went to Kodaikanal recently. I took a little break. And I had ETOs. Okay, my friend's ETOs, which by the way, at the end of the trip got horribly rear-ended by four Mallu dudes in a Renault. And then they got into a fight with me saying it was my fault because they hit a stationary car. And
were you stationary in the highway though?
No. So what happened is I was at an intersection, and you might notice that intersections, especially T-junctions, tend to have traffic going in all the three of the directions.
Mm.
So sometimes when somebody comes from the long part of the T to the side part, you have to wait. Mm. Otherwise, they will die. So I did that. And then the guy next to me also waited. And then the guy behind him also waited, just as people do. And quid guy did not want to wait. So quid guy bangs into me, starts shouting at me, asking me for money.
Mm-hmm.
At which point I said, fuck this shit, I'm not paying you anything.
Should he banged you and you
would pay me?
And he refused to talk in English. Okay, I don't speak Tamil or Malayali. Okay, so he started talking in English.
It's Malayalam, by the way.
Malayalam, sorry. Slip. My bad.
Your bad, yeah.
Yeah, excuse my Malbari. Small frustration against that people. But then I started talking to him in Gujarati. Because I said, you're not going to play by the rules, I'm not going to play by the rules.
So you guys were basically like communicating against each other.
Yeah, and then eventually the scooter guy who we saved, because otherwise he would have died if I had not put the handbrake up in time. He walked over and he started screaming at the Mallu guy in Tamil. And then it became a whole race thing.
Now it's a parliament.
What?
Yeah, it was all the Tamil people around screaming at this car full of four Mallu guys, and it became like a huge fight and we ran off. But anyway, on that trip.
But did anybody pay for the car's damage?
Insurance and Akash paid for that car's damage. But that trip, we were going to a guy's house in Kodi, and Kodi has no addresses. So we are just kind of hoping that you reach. And we got stuck on this slope. And my friend and I were in the car. My friend weighs like 50. She's tiny. Okay. And the others were already there. So I was like, okay, this is clearly not where the others are. There's no place to U-turn the car also now. So there's no chance this is going up in reverse up this hill. So I went ahead somehow, reverse, came back. And going up took me about 45 minutes of attempts. Because I would go up midway, just come back down. Go up midway, come back down.
Were there three fat people?
It was just me and my friend. And then, then first thing we did is we took the... My friend said, okay, should I get... I said, chill, let's like run up and go. So that got us still halfway. Then she said, okay, I think I should get up. I said, dude, 50 kilos not going to make a difference. She's like, I'm getting off. I said, 50 kilos not going to make a difference. And next attempt, yeah, it made all the difference.
What?
Yeah. And then she sits in the car and she's like, I feel kind of fat. I'm like, no, this is not on you. This is not on you. At all. But it was a horrifying experience. Like taking an ETOS, that car has no strength.
This feels like a psychological thing for the car though. It was just like, it was a mental thing.
Driving one in the rally, dude. Like I was planning out my route and all. Like I was like, okay, I'll go here. There's no road here. So I'll move like this. And then I'll move left. And then I'll move right. And then it was horrific.
Yeah, but like at least now your friend knows what's it like to be that fat kid always. Right? Like, yeah. We are always the one to first be let off of anything.
But I feel damn bad for her because she used to be that kid. Then she lost weight and then she was still that kid.
Oh shit.
Technically, I should have gotten out of the car because I weigh more than her.
And then but both of them jump out and the yeah. It's like an action scene and the car goes and it's like, yeah. And a Rocky theme plays.
Driven up and then done a roll out.
There was this one time we were in Himachal and going up the road somewhere, and there was this little bike and it was not going over a rock. So the guy said, I will come behind the bike and I will push the bike. And he pushed the bike. He didn't realize there are rocks under the bike. So the rock hit him in the balls.
Oh,
it was damn fun to watch.
Yeah, to watch. I can imagine.
Yeah, I don't want to be involved in either part of that. Yeah. But it was damn fun to watch.
Yeah, dude. I once broke my friend's pillion seat ka backstand So it was his fault actually, not mine. I'll explain. So we were like going to Khopoli and coming back, and it was like a long 6-hour drive all throughout. Yeah. So like I started like falling asleep. Okay. Ooh. So I, knowing that if I sleep like this, I'll fall backwards. I slept on him directly. So he's already driving, carrying the weight of the bike and my fucking head, and I'm just leaning onto him, and he's just like utna, he's just like doing this utna, and I'm just like fucking let me sleep, dude. And then like to get me really into the waking up mode, he revs up, okay, he just like goes and now I go flying backwards like this, and I take his collar with me.
Oh shit.
And the thing is bent now, and I'm like almost at the verge of falling off, dude.
Oh man.
And then like then he stops immediately and he's like, fucking, are you alive? I'm like, yeah. Because just a month before that, one of my friends, Pranav Kini, actually fell down like that.
Man.
But a stand didn't break that time. So now his father was like, who's this fat ass who broke your get money from him. I'm not giving you money.
Yeah.
Malayali guy again. Ash. I think it's something about
Malayali guys get into accidents.
You get into accidents.
Cool. And ask for money.
You made me sign a release for this episode. I endorse everything being said on this episode.
Hey man, is this all, we just, you know, we don't really care about where you come from. We hate
That's
you equally.
True. Exactly.
So
everyone sucks.
Have you ever been on a scooter and the fucking guy on the scooter goes over a speed bump and he doesn't like care
inform
for you,
you. Yeah.
And
yeah.
then your balls get the worst smack.
That's terrible. I find that guy. That's an issue with like, and even in cars, just you're nearing a speed bump, just slow down, man.
Yeah.
There are people in the car. You're mentally prepared for it. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know when it happens in a rickshaw and it like levitates for a hot second and then lands back? That messes your back up so bad.
My friend lost a teeth like that.
What?
Like, so basically the rickshaw went on a bump and just like went charging forward. And she was like, you know, there were two other fat aunties in the rickshaw. So she was sitting at the corner. She was the one who flew outside. Okay?
Oh,
and
no.
just like banged like there was a hard gari in the front. She just, at the edge of the hard gari, her teeth went and hit. And it was just like chipped like this. Looked very weird.
This is that like a painful. Rube Goldberg machine.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of, have you guys seen a lot of road accidents? Like I'm on the road a lot. So I end up seeing a lot of them.
I
see the aftermath usually, not like in action.
I've seen two, like about maybe 3-4 in action.
Mm-hmm. I don't think I've ever seen any major ones. Like I've been in a couple relatively minor ones.
Okay.
But no, I don't think I've ever seen anything major. You always like pass the really messy looking one on the highway where you're like, oh shit, something happened here.
I was driving down at about 1:30 near Vilepale, and there was this truck. Okay. And the truck is going straight and it's on the curve, right? Along the airport.
Mm.
So it's on this curve. And there's this bike guy next to the truck. Okay. Mm. Not even in a lane. In that small putty of a lane at the edge of the road, he's there. Okay. Driving right next to the, which I think is the dumbest thing you can do. Never drive next to a truck. Like just don't be near a truck when it's an empty road, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's driving. Decides to take out his phone and have a conversation. Okay.
What?
So he's trying to pull out his phone from his jeans. It's not coming out.
On the bike.
And he yanks it. Yeah, while driving the bike.
Oh, shit.
Yanks it out, loses balance. Okay. So first time he sways away from the truck, the phone goes. The idiot looks back to check his phone, loses balance again, rams straight like sideways into the truck.
Oh shit.
Okay. Mm. And he does it thrice. Like boom, boom, boom. And the first two times I'm literally seeing the helmet fall off his head because it's being crushed and broken.
Oh fuck.
So the first time you see the helmet get cocked, the second time you see it fall off his head because it's broken. And the third time it just pat, went straight, splat in.
Like,
oh fuck.
And then he just like kind of like, he's like, his bike just kind of like rolled off the road slowly and went away. It's terrifying.
Kahun. Anyways. Dude, like I always, like when I was younger, I was like such a Hrithik Roshan fan that whenever I watch Kahuna Pyare, I would hope in that version he did not die. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Like, you do have the feeling like maybe just like don't rev the bike, just like leave the, let the bike go, Rohit.
Listen,
while holding on to
happen.
It and you die.
I'm hoping harder this time.
Yeah.
Man, I have a thing where I have a Kahuna Pyar Hai story. It's not really a story, but I think I have some form of face blindness because the first time I saw it, I didn't think the two Hrithik Roshans looked at all alike. I was like, kitna alag banda hai. I swear. I was just like, who is this guy? And what's happening?
And why are they introducing him so much?
Yeah. And then they're like, he looks exactly like him. And I was like, no, he doesn't. Rohit guy.
Sonia? Sonia?
I did not get it. The opposite thing happened to me when I watched The Departed. There, I had
a, I know what you mean.
Yes, yes. Departed, everybody I've spoken to has the same problem.
Right? You think it's the same guy?
Yeah.
I mean, I had a first generation iPod at the time. Not even an iPod. It was a Creative Zen.
Ooh.
On which I was like, wow, you can watch movies on this now. Watch it. It's like a green screen. And like, basically all you see is white guy and blonde mop. And I was like, this movie is really weird. Is it like a jumping timeline sort of situation or what? halfway through the movie, I had this like aha moment in like this extreme close-up. I was like, wait a second, Matt Damon's also in this.
Were you always into film?
Yeah, I got like super into TV and films around my teenage years, like around 13, 14, when the internet hit, basically.
Right.
Yeah, that was a life-changing moment for me. We didn't have we didn't have the speed to download stuff at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I just started reading a bunch of scripts online. That's the main way I got into it. Because like you try and download one movie, it used to take like 2 days on a 56 kbps modem.
Right.
So I would just like read the scripts, and then when I eventually watched the movie, I'd be like, no, this is not how I pictured it. It's not gonna. how I would have done it.
Like, you have your own director's cut before the movie comes to you.
Yeah, it's like, it's weird. I mean, now, of course, people have that entitlement anyway. Like, we watch Game of Thrones and go like, nahi, nahi, ye nahi chalega.
Yes, but like, this whole, I'm so angry.
I know what you mean.
Oh
my God.
Dude, I just tweeted today that fanboys won't change their charity for 2-3 days, want to change the script of the whole show.
Yeah.
Who the fuck do you think you are?
And now, it's like,
why are you treating it like it's a school project that they submitted? Like, no, this won't do. Please,
I know
resubmit.
It has pitfalls, but like, it, like any show, it has to conclude. It has to find a logical ending while also subverting expectations. It's a fucking show 8 years in the making.
Yeah.
It's so much fucking effort. And people will say stuff like, yeah, but na, wo uska na arc jaldi khatam ho gaya. I'm like, bro, tu kaun hai?
No, I get that. I get not liking stuff because I'm not a fan of this season
either.
But you can't ask,
either,
people but
to
you can't
change
ask them
shit.
To. Yeah, you can't say, oh, you're an artist who made something creative, fir se bana ke de. Unless you're Kanye and you're talking about your own work.
Online is easier when you make a prop for that show like they have done for
I
so many years.
Swear.
Then you like shit your pants.
Just look at the fucking work going to each of those dresses and each of those.
Yeah. And as they already established, much of it isn't made in India also. Like, you know,
somewhere in Noida, no? Somewhere in Noida.
They make the clothes here. So
but dragons are also made in Malad, so it's fine.
Have you guys seen that the remake The Last Jedi, guys?
They
claim they've raised some $400 million and they just want to buy the rights from Disney. Like, sure, Disney will go like, haha, previous movie cancelled, you guys do it. Random guys on the internet.
Disney is cancelled.
You know, kitna saal. And it's the annoying part is, you know, I mean, to me, like when I watch a piece like something like Game of Thrones, firstly, having the kind of claims that people have about the storyline and the plotline without the last episode having been aired.
Yeah.
At least watch it in entirety, then have an opinion on it. Like, how can you have an opinion? It's been 3 hours since the episode came out.
Exactly.
How do you have an opinion?
And you already hate it because you already had all these like ridiculously outlandish theories that weren't going to happen anyway.
Yeah. Night King especially, like even George R. R. Martin is like, it's like, it's okay, I don't want you all to base it off my books because my writing is going to, you know, differ from theirs because I have so much more time.
End.
And they have, you know, the ending at least, like they told it to me, so I'm assuming that they know what to do. So it's now creative control gone to D.B. Weiss and, you know, Benioff. So like, let them do their own, right? Like, somebody's like, oh, because, you know, Benioff's father is Goldman Sachs president, that's why he's acting like an entitled bastard.
What?
Right now. I'm like, this is a passion project. Like, nobody would have put this on screen if not for them, you know?
These are artists at the end of the day. I hate how the Night King story ended, and I'm still hoping that there's more to it. But the fact is, if you like stuff, if you love art, then you're going to be disappointed by it as well. You can't go like, I did
honestly
not enjoy this, so let me like just rewind
for this day.
Opinion
that is under review is like, is Lost the season finale the best season finale ever or no?
Huh.
And a lot of people hated that.
No.
But I like Lost ka finale. I always envisioned them from the first season being like stuck in some weird
limbo
in purgatory. So like, for me,
spoiler alert, guys, if you guys don't know,
it's been
Lost,
6 years.
It's way more, in fact. Yeah, it's too late for Lost spoilers.
Yeah, so, no,
but it's like,
they were lost, guys. Get over it.
I just feel 2019 should be the year where we start taking things back from people. Like, you know, it's just like, we have let everybody have everything. All these fandoms, like, I'm talking about, like, I at least know 4 fandoms that have gone toxic.
This is going to go to RuPaul's Drag Race, isn't it?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yes.
I knew it.
RuPaul's
Drag
Race.
Race
has a
the whole beauty
fan
fandom.
Base?
Like, have you seen the whole James Charles Tati controversy? Like, and Jeffree Star intervening right now.
Yeah.
But I don't know the guy. I've only been reading it since
James
this
Charles.
Stuff. Yeah I never saw his stuff until this came to light. But he was an asshole, apparently.
Yeah, he was the bad person. Telling straight people to hook up with him is like, you'll turn gay if you just like sleep with me sort of situation.
Wow.
And they were like, no. And then the whole Coachella thing happened and a lot of things. So what's happening is basically everybody who's consuming this media is so entitled. They're like, we control the media. We make you happen.
That's what's annoying to me because it's like, this is not your fucking Swiggy guy, dude.
Yeah.
You don't rate his delivery. Like, this is not a product. This is a piece of art.
Yeah.
You're a consumer in the sense of you're a consumer to the company, but a guy making it, you're the audience, not the consumer.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Wait, Belpuri mein danya nahi chahiye, show mein dragon nahi chahiye. It's not the same thing, dude.
Yeah, but साल का ड्रैगन थोड़ा फेकड़ी लगा मेरे को. आई डोंट नो इफ यू गाइस फेल्ट इट, आई जस्ट फेल्ट द ड्रैगन्स डिडंट लुक एज रियल दिस
ईयर. दे वर आल्सो लाइक दे वर मोर डायनामिक देन दे हैव एवर बीन अप टिल नाउ. यू सीन देम जस्ट डू सम लाइक रियली कूल स्टफ फ्रॉम फार अवे. नाउ यू आर जस्ट लाइक राइट इन द गाइस फेस एंड यू आर लाइक, ओह दिस इजंट एज कूल लुकिंग एज आई थॉट.
Yeah, I felt like the dragons were in 2017.
Yeah.
But what was your favorite dragon in pop culture?
In pop culture?
Yeah.
You know that Puff the Magic Dragon guy?
Oh, yeah.
I think he is by far that. And then Albie the Racist Dragon from the Flight of the Conchords song.
That's
I don't think either of these are pop enough to be culture, but they are my favorite.
Yeah. Now, people look it up though. It's
good. Yeah. Flight of the Conchords is, yeah, that's pop culture. That definitely counts as pop culture, right?
No, it's fringe.
It's fringe it's pop. Fringe.
No, it should not be.
It should that not be. I agree. Problem.
Like, people know about Taika Waititi now after Thor. Like, they don't know, like, back in the day, people from New Zealand were making cool shit. Like, you know?
Yeah.
So, if you talk about, what's the guy's name?
Taika Waititi.
No, the other guy from
Jermaine Clement.
Jermaine Clement. Jermaine Clement.
Yeah.
He became famous only after that song from Moana.
Moana. Yeah,
so like that's sad.
Yeah, I mean that's Disney, so that's a whole other level of popularity from Flight of the Conchords.
Anyways, we should take a break. We ventured into pop culture.
This is what happens if you sit with geek people.
When we come back, I do want to talk about, like, because I didn't know when to talk about this or how to talk about this, because Akash and I did this together. We're talking how we felt watching Endgame. Okay.
Ooh,
our stories.
Are we doing that?
We are doing that.
We are doing that. Okay.
I'm sorry.
See you after the break.
Start from the bottom, now we're here.
Back!
Yes!
Second half!
Vartalab!
Oh my god!
It's here.
And we need to talk about the Avengers thing.
Yeah.
We need to.
We
haven't discussed it.
We promised.
You haven't, like, was there a gag order on you guys talking to each other about it?
No.
Not really.
We watched it also together.
Okay, like at Geek Fruit, it's not a set out loud rule, but typically if we watch a movie together, we don't talk about it immediately. We go back home, we process our stuff, and then we let it all out on the podcast.
I think that's what kind of happened invariably. Like, that's what ended up happening. And it's not like we intended it for it to happen or anything. But I think, but you do talk to other people about it.
Yeah.
Just not each other.
I mean, it depends. Like, after Endgame or after The Force Awakens, for example, we all just spent, like, I think, a day and a half in silence. Force Awakens for sure.
Yeah.
That was a very depressing car ride back. Everyone was just like absolutely quiet. And we were with one friend of ours who wasn't like as into Star Wars as us, I suppose. We were just like, it's very quiet, right? And everyone just turned and looked at her and looked away again. She's like, cool.
Did you not enjoy the Force Awakens?
No, but I mean, Han, dude, that just hit us pretty hard.
Yeah.
So that was just like, that
definitely
hurt. I remember watching Last Jedi with you guys.
Yes.
We going to IMAX Padala.
Which was a different feel. I was kicked at the end of that movie.
Yeah, I was very happy at the end of that movie.
It was madness.
It's a shame we didn't get to discuss it in the last year wala podcast. But I think Kunal Rao, by the way, on record, I think Krau is the wrong person to be talking to about Star Wars.
Man, I was just reading this huge thing he's written about all the Marvel movies to bring it back to Endgame. And he's got some right opinions, but a lot of misguided ones.
Man, I don't even.
Okay. We won't mention that.
I've been having this fight. Like, a lot of people have been debating Endgame with me in the sense that Endgame was terrible. And
what?
And
who
I
are
said,
these people?
I mean, and
let me
like,
fight them.
I know, right? Like, and it's just like, oh, it was all lip service to fans, and I'm like, yes, it was.
That's the point.
Because it took a decade to set it up.
You all were the
I've
ones
been telling
was
people
snap.
Who don't like it that you don't get it, dude. It's not like you watched a movie. You're watching the season finale of something. Essentially.
A culmination of
it's
like
a culmination of a pretty big
things.
Piece of
exactly.
work.
Exactly.
You want a tight movie? You can go watch Infinity War. Endgame is not a tight movie.
Spider-Man is flying next to a Pegasus. Who roya?
Main
to roya.
Yeah.
That entire 45 minute long
my God.
Last scene.
Like all the women supporting Spider-Man as he runs across the field.
And then he goes into kill mode.
I love the fact that they brought in Captain Marvel and it did not seem forced. It did not seem like she's like a deus ex machina. Abhi Captain Marvel lage, ye sab fix ho gaya. She's just a really cool character.
But like, I remember how I booked the tickets for the movie was basically the tickets went live on Easter night, like while I was sloshed out of my mind with my friends, and they're like, now the tickets have, and like it's going away like hotcakes. Like, everything is just like, every theater I'm going to sold out at 2:30 in the morning. I'm trying my best. Okay, so finally I was like, okay, I'm gonna watch it on IMAX at least. So I'm going for the 3 IMAX. Okay, so first 2 IMAX is like Wadala and Lower Parel gone.
In no time.
Only one left was IMAX Malad. And I'm like, okay, that's one of the okay IMAX, but like it's an experience, whatever. Tickets are straight up $600. I'm like, it's okay, I don't care. And I book a ticket for me and my boyfriend. And basically, like 8 a.m. show, the first show was two tickets left. One corner of the theater and the other in the other corner. Sometimes I'm watching.
Which would have been fine if it was two friends going. Yeah. But if it's with your boyfriend, I think you need to sit next to him.
Yeah. So I booked finally for the 11 a.m. ticket. I got two tickets next to each other. Yeah. I booked those. And then I come home drunk and I'm like, hey, we're going to watch a movie. It's like Endgame is booked, don't worry. And it's like, I'm not even in town at that point. And I'm like, shit, what do I do? I'm like, hey, Akash, are you free?
I like that I was the next one.
Yeah, you were the backup.
I like to think that I was the immediate
next. I mean, right after boyfriend, that's a pretty important place.
Yeah,
they're a legit number two.
You're my de facto best man now. Like,
yeah. It's going to be weird because I'm both your best man now. But that it was nice. I was also not, you know, if it weren't for Naveen, I would have ended up watching it like 2 weeks later in IMAX Wadala alone.
You need that one person who's like really dependable who'll get the job done, right? Yeah. Like, yeah. That is not me in the group that we went in, but like 8 days beforehand, we had like a 12-person strong group and like confirmations from everyone. Yeah. There was like the whole thing built around just the Endgame tickets. And even we didn't get the first day first show. We got like a midnight screening on the Saturday.
Yeah. I'm amazed that y'all aren't getting called to the preview by now.
There were no previews for this one. It was just like,
oh, right, they didn't want to preview it because they thought we'd leak it. Then they released it in China.
Not that we would have been invited.
China
let me be clear. Not that we would have been invited, but there were no previews.
No, but
my
I think
excuse.
It was funny because they wanted it to release in China first and they didn't release in India, thinking India would leak. And then the Chinese print leaked.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Dekha, ye Chinese log pe bharosa karke yahi hota hai."
Which is why I had to watch a second time. Like basically, I was looking for a ticket the next week, and I'm like, "Ye to 2 hafte ke liye sold out hai, so I'll just like go and watch it online." Man, and the print is not bad.
I love the fact that there are like 3 a.m. screenings of this movie and stuff. That's
But that's when I realized that it's gone from being a culture. It's not a cultural phenomenon; it's a religion now.
Yeah,
you wear
much.
The clothes, you know the lines, you come in with your group, and you do the things, the sounds, the whatever.
Yeah.
I was just telling Tejas recently. Remember at the May the 4th event only. Like I was telling him that how we were walking into the theater, and remember those people who had watched the 8 a.m. show were standing downstairs, and some of them saw my Iron Man t-shirt and started like mocking me, and we walked away from them basically because I don't know why they were mocking me until I watched the movie. But I'm like, still don't do it. Don't be those douchebags because you have been handed over the responsibility of getting to watch a movie beforehand. So just let everybody enjoy it wholesomely, right? Don't be that. But like
but the whole movie was, I don't know how your experience was, but for us it was a little like, I mean, as far as movie experiences go, it was a little annoying at first.
Yeah,
oh, really?
Because every single time a character came on stage, ah!
There was a girl right next to me, okay? Like full movie, like first half at least, she was just like, oh my god.
And everything.
Yes. Oh shit. Oh my god. Like, like being like like Ralphie Mays is built on black people watching movies. She was exactly like that person, okay? And I was just like, so at one point I'm like, can you please shut the fuck up? I had to say that, okay?
I also leaned in at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, and especially then, if it's the first time.
It's the worst part.
Yeah. It's the best part actually, not the worst part. Like
I
told her to shut up, okay? And then we go out, we have a smoke during the interval and come back. And when we come back, I walk with like popcorns and everything.
And I came in early.
And Akash went in early. And now this girl and Akash are best friends. They're having a gala old time. Gay old
this
time.
Is what happened.
It's a
this
bad cop, good cop situation.
No. This is what happened. Okay. We asked them to shut the fuck up. And then we both went out. We went to the, you know, confectionaries. We got whatever we wanted. I came early. And all four of them, they were looking at me as, and I know that look of, oh, they know me from the internet. Huh. So I was walking towards them and they were like, look at me. And I leaned in and I said, tum log kabhi picture nahi dekha hai na life mein. And just that entire section, the three rows behind and ahead, everybody lost their shit.
Nice.
And I took the advantage of the moment and landed a few more insulting punchlines. And then they said, sir, selfie. I said, really? After all
after that?
You wanna fuck? I said, come, we'll take photo. And then,
nice.
And thankfully, they were pretty quiet after that.
Yeah, then we went berserk.
And then after
second half, when
the second half is made for that.
Oh my god, like when Captain America picked up the hammer.
Oh,
spoiler alert.
Lord.
I went back.
I think
shit.
I was supposed to say spoiler alert before.
Yeah.
it's too late now. The Russos have lifted the spoiler ban. Okay.
Yeah.
Like there are pictures they're putting out now.
Yeah, when Spider Man's trailer came out with like the
that was
just
stupid
Tom Holland clarifying the whole thing.
Yeah.
I watched it with a really good crowd though. The Wadala first week crowd really is typically pretty solid.
Yeah.
Though there was one guy sitting right next to me who was the same vibe. Like when Captain Marvel first appears to rescue Tony, he went, Modi hai to kuch bhi mumkin hai. And I was like, oh my god, he's a wisecracker, which is terrible.
But even at Malad, it was like, national anthem and Bharat Mata Ki Jai, no? Like,
yeah,
even
that, really?
Yeah, that yeah. happens a lot. You know, in certain theaters where it doesn't happen, I do it.
Just I mean, for some movies, it's fine. For some movies, see, it's a part of the experience. But
Marvel,
mein toh,
of course, Bharat Mata Ki Jai. In fact, sometimes na, what I'll do is, if there's a very strong Bharat Mata Ki Jai, like I did that day also, if Vico or something ad comes, I get really pumped up about Vico.
Huh.
Yeah. I go, Vico! Woo! Yes!
The whole theater went berserk at the brain. It was madness. I love it.
It's the traditional parts of any movie. The like, national anthem, Vico and Manyavar.
Last time I went... Sorry. Say the line again because it was funny.
Shit. Now I don't remember.
Vico and Manyavar.
Oh, yeah.
Manyavar.
You need Vico, the national anthem and Manyavar.
Yeah.
They're the traditional...
Much, yeah. And mm-hmm. I love that Manyavar has somehow taken the responsibility of educating young people about what's right and wrong around marriage. Like, Virat will come and say, Dahej nahi lenge. Ye nahi karega. The cost will be split. And I'm like, wow, Virat, chalo, sahi hai.
Nose job ke liye paise nahi milega.
But this is so interesting, now. All these power couples have kind of come in and they it's so great, dude. It's like being a dink on a whole different level.
Yeah.
You know, like...
What's a dink?
A dink is double income, no kids.
You have a dink, oh yeah.
I am a double no income. my two main jobs pay me nothing.
But like, I remember last time I went this batshit crazy while watching a movie was Chak De India.
Really?
It was a while back when like, basically, you know Chak De India, right? Like,
yeah,
of course. The whole India-Australia match.
Yeah.
Very well shot. I really love the movie.
Yeah,
it's like, in terms of sports movies that's come out of India, Chak De India
is
like, really
I think it's a great movie.
I'm really waiting to see a sports movie where we lose at the end. Like, there really needs to be one of those. Like, there needs to be a Friday Night Lights.
What's the actual World Cup move for that?
Ouch, man. That's ouch.
I know, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Ow, that really hurt.
We won't lose the World Cup. Paisa hum laga rahe.
Wo bhi hai.
Yeah, we win it in some way.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, the trophy is coming from Hamleys and that's coming from Reliance. So eventually,
yeah.
Really.
Okay.
Anyways, so I was watching it and next to me was a Sardar guy. Okay, like hardcore Sardar, like really like feeling the Sardar Jat girl in the show in the
yeah,
movie
yeah.
also. The big girl who's just like, and then the Argentina match where she has to beat people up, and this guy just like starts losing it, and I'm like, yeah, I am loving it because now he's opened the floodgates for everybody else to express themselves, and then everybody's feeling regional at this point. Okay, like the Jasi girl is killing it, then the Jasi girl is screaming, Tamil girl is killing. So in a different way, that movie was secular, and just like by the end when the Australia match happened, when like he's like Ruk Jao, like don't move, she's gonna shoot straight, and then she just like looks at him and then looks straight, and then when she misses the shot and everybody just like the whole theater stood up, dude. It was madness.
Nice.
It was Fun Republic, I remember, long time back.
Yeah.
Like, I was a young child by then, but like I love the fact that movies can do this to you. Like, you know, when people say Rajinikanth movies or Salman Khan movies and Gaiti, I love it. Apna Time Aayega, like the whole movie Gully Boy, I watched
God,
in Gaiti first
amazing.
Day.
Amazing.
Oh my God, like it was my Valentine's Day date with my boyfriend, and people were like throwing popcorn and shit. It was madness.
Nice.
Like there's a scene where Kalki. Wait, basically, so you've seen Gully Boy.
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
Spoiler alert for Gully Boy as well.
Wow, okay,
so basically,
cool.
Ranveer Singh loves Alia Bhatt, but also at the same time cheats on her with Kalki, okay?
Yeah.
And at that point, because his father's also having affairs with another woman, one guy from down said, "Apne baap pe gaya bench." Just like to make comment. Kya chupa kar rahi hai usko and all of that. And I love that.
Man.
I love that element. That's because then I can watch the movie later, aram se.
Yeah.
I can enjoy the dialogues. But that feeling.
Yeah, it's the experience.
That's irreplaceable.
Right?
Yeah, that's a unique experience.
Yeah, we live in that
Gaiti
time.
Gaiti is worth it for that.
No,
you walk into Gaiti, you're like, abhi feel aaya.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of, I think, generally of watching movies out. Like, you go for a movie for an experience. You're not going for the movie. If you want to analyze the movie and shit, I would do it at home. And this is something...
I guess, yeah.
Like, with certain movies, especially, man, certain movies aren't just movies anymore.
I feel like it depends a lot on the movie. Like, Chak De India is clearly built for that experience.
So, just like this, when Force Awakens happened, when the seventh part happened, and that was one of those things. Like, when the Millennium... That old dump, oh my God! Like, it was madness.
You can't not lose your shit at that moment.
But when I went... I went for a movie with I went for Haider though, and when I went for Haider, I went on a date for Haider, which is I think the wrong movie to go for.
That's
it was the only movie available.
Go with your mom.
But Haider was one of the movies where I realized it's the complete wrong movie to lose your shit or even talk, because I was staring at the screen only, and she got kind of annoyed at me because she's like, aren't you gonna talk in this movie? And I'm like, no, it's a Vishal Bhardwaj movie, shut up and watch it.
Yeah.
I paid money for your seat also so that I could watch it in peace in AC.
I went for Newton like that, and this guy just wanted to like grab my cock throughout the movie. We got like, an corner seat and there was nobody in the theater,
right.
But I'm like, it's a good movie, I want to watch, like, I want to know how to do elections in, like, you know, low income areas and villages and everything. And this guy like, do you want to blow? I'm like, no, I want to know about democracy. See, I sacrifice shit.
Okay, so do you think, did you feel though that it was like, like going forth now with the Marvel movies, I feel like it's gonna have a. You think it's just gonna drop in like numbers and all now because it's not gonna be as.
I don't think so either.
I feel like they'll kind of start a whole new era essentially. Like personally, what I'm hoping for, which I don't know if they'll do, is that they go a little quieter because man. Let us kind of live out this one. It's a big moment. Like the way comic books do it, right? When you have a giant, it's typically like a once a year or once every 2 years, huge crossover. And then the next year is just like the consequences of whatever happened in the first one.
And we see that like in Spider-Man Far From Home now, we have like an entire multiverse theory being opened up. So like we have alternate dimensions to travel. Like, you know, the Spider-Man into the multiverse movie.
I feel like that might be a scam though. That might be a red herring that they're throwing into the trailer because I can't imagine them just dropping that information.
That's because
trailer.
Mysterio's character is shady.
And it's Mysterio who is basically a fishbowl wearing liar.
A liar, so basically all of that. But it's interesting.
It's a nice accurate description of
that's his entire vibe.
I always found Mysterio to be the most well-dressed one but also found him the most annoying one as far as villains went.
Yeah,
because people who voiced him in the cartoons were the most annoying. They always found the most like cranky voice sounding like
he's also like, what does he do? He doesn't do much. He's got a killer name. He's got a great name. And he's got a great costume.
Yeah.
But then, like, the potential is so wasted.
Someone referenced Rey Mysterio in one of the animated shorts, I think. Where it's like, Mysterio, like, Rey Mysterio, the wrestler, and like, who's that?
He's another character whose potential is wasted is Scott Summers, dude. The coolest looking dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coolest power.
Yeah.
But then, in the played by James Marsden in the movies. The but coolest then, like, Harper, two side me hurt.
Yeah. And Ty Sheridan now.
X-Men movies though just kind of got out of hand after a while.
Now I'd have no idea what's going on. I don't think anybody writing them has any idea.
Present participle.
Yeah. Past tense, future.
From that point on, they lost it. Like Apocalypse is one of the worst I've ever seen in general.
And
like,
is that the one when he's there in Egypt randomly?
Yeah.
That's the one where at one point, after he's awoken after his millennia of sleep, Apocalypse goes over to a television and just put his hands on it. And then Storm asks him, like, what are you doing? And he goes, like, learning.
I remember that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But, like, now with the Dark Phoenix... Okay, sorry. I just had to say something.
Yeah, अचानक तेरा चौल बाहर आया.
वो गए नहीं था अंदर. जगह ही नहीं जाने के लिए अंदर. Anyways, did I tell you about a time like I was 5 and I was living in a chawl? So this is interesting.
This
story.
Is the time you pooped everywhere?
Yes.
Yes, I love this story.
Have I told
pooped
this on
everywhere.
The show though?
No, I know you've told this on the show. I don't know
this
it.
It's a great story.
Okay, so one terrible part about living in a chawl is that there's community bathrooms. There's no like, some people who are rich enough, who had like enough money to build a bathroom at home, had to do it and then ask the municipality to give them permission because everything's basically a small gutter line that's running parallel to your house only.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever you excrete, you see in the pipelines. That's how bad it is. So
oh, it's open.
I mean, like,
it's open drains.
Okay. It's open drains. Right. So I was 5 and one morning I woke up at like 4:30 in the morning and with a really bad urge to shit, but like not knowing what to do. And until then, my mom and my sisters were the only one who took me to the bathroom because there has to be an adult supervision because anybody can take and run you. Like, take you away and run. Because like, I was a cute boy also. So,
okay.
They were always conscious about that. Still are. But... So yeah, I filled up the bucket like I'm supposed to and then like I leave the house hoping to get to the bathroom in time but I could not. I just basically lost all motor functions at that point and I just like shat all my way from my house to the public bathroom. Just like leaving one turd outside every doorstep like some modal.
Like a prasad. One for you.
Yeah. One for you and one for you. You get a shit.
Everybody get a shit.
And then by the time I reached the public bathroom, I was done. So I basically just like washed up and I came back with like my turd stained pants. My mom by then woke up and she was like, and she was not even awake properly when like a bunch of aunties were outside our door, like what the fuck happened. But then they were like, this is a child, so we're okay with that. My mom,
how old
to,
were
like,
you at this point?
Like 5, like very small.
Oh, that's a very acceptable age for this to happen.
Like my turds were not even turds, they were like milky bar white.
Okay then.
I'm sorry, I don't know why I described that.
I shat my pants a bunch.
Yeah.
Till very late. Embarrassingly late.
How late?
Yeah.
Till like third standard.
Oh shit.
That is pretty late. I was 8 years old.
They got me tested and all. They thought that I had some medical problem.
Oh.
And the...
Would it happen like at school and stuff?
It would be like I would be playing somewhere and then I would not feel the urge to shit.
Hmm.
And then within a 30 second gap, it would be like boom Shiva, like there's shit in your pants. Like it was very instantaneous and it was very
hard. It took you a while to understand the signals your body was giving
you. Yeah, and I think the problem was just that everybody was trying to raise me on this one poop a day schedule, which was my body was not okay with
that. I don't think that's a legit thing.
It's actually not
a function of the fact that people have work days, so they're like, you should shit before you go to work. But that's not how the body works.
It's not true at all. And now I'm at like a 3-4 shit a day schedule and it's way better for me. Like now I don't shit my pants. Hey, yeah. Coincidence? I think not.
No.
I mean, now you have access to bathrooms wherever you go. Yeah.
But like, I used to wet my bed till I was in third standard. And then like, at intervals, I've done that until I was 26.
Yeah,
so I have like, I don't know, this is a very embarrassing story, but like I basically go into that dream state where I'm in a bathroom.
Yeah.
I'm in a toilet, like everything is like very realized, okay?
Yeah.
Like there's a proper bathroom with a flush and everything. I'm like, yeah, I'm supposed to defecate here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So even to this day when I'm actually woken up and I'm groggy and I go to the bathroom, I just like check twice if I'm like actually asleep.
Right. Because you could genuinely just dream that you went to the bathroom
and then just like the bed is
I feel like that exact same thing has happened to me for sure.
Yeah, I've peed my pants twice. Since in the last maybe decade, and that's always the case. It's always in a cold place. Like in a cold place, you're sleeping, and you know your comfort or whatever comes off at night. And now it's really cold, and your brain, you're like, oh, we are on an icicle, and let's pee on icicle and write our name. Yeah. And then I'm writing the name in the dream, and then it's wet.
It's an unfamiliar situation. So your brain is just processing it in a different way.
Yeah. Actually, there was this experiment they did with people who had epilepsy, where they cut their brain stem from the middle, so the left and the right couldn't communicate with each other anymore. And then they did all these experiments where only one side of the brain, like you would be asked a question, and they would ask one side of the brain
how
the question.
How do you fucking cut the brain in half and still function?
It still functions.
Like how a lobotomy works, I suppose, right?
Not lobotomy is different.
Isn't a lobotomy where you snip
No, that's
the
your
two
prefrontal
hemispheres?
Cortex is being.
Okay.
That's only for the gays.
No, also for hysterical women.
Yeah.
Don't gays. Like. So in that, now they had this thing where they would ask you a question. So one side of the brain handles hearing, right?
Right.
So they ask you a question and the brain hears the question and then you answer, write the answer down. The other side is asked to see the question. So the other side of the brain now gets it. Mm-hmm. And that side is asked the same question and it has a completely different answer.
Mm.
Okay. So in one experiment, there was this thing where this woman was shown like a dirty picture to one side of her brain. And she would giggle.
Silk Smitha wala.
Okay. And then she would be asked, why did you giggle?
Huh.
And she'd be like, oh, because I don't know, I just
because
felt like giggling.
Okay. Oh, she doesn't understand
why. She doesn't understand why.
That's so weird.
Because your brain has two parts. One part experiences things, one part creates narrative to tie everything together.
Right.
And those parts had been separated. So you never really know who you are.
That is so strange.
Yeah. Like once when I was sleeping as a kid, I woke up and I didn't wake up, but like I stood up, I walked over to the exact same path that my old room ka bathroom was in, which took me to the dustbin in this new room, and I peed in the dustbin.
What?
Yeah.
That is so strange. You're just like muscle memory at that point.
Yeah, and I mean, this is not related to that, but I'm just saying, coming back to pee stories.
Yeah, let's not talk about brain stuff and neuroscience. Let's go back to poop and pee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have, like, your story was reminding me, like the fact that you have a public bathroom, right?
Mm.
I was a very fussy kid. I would hate using public bathrooms. So the entire time, all like 14 years I spent in school or whatever, I used the bathroom in school like twice.
But
in like completely desperate situations. To pee
also.
I wouldn't even pee in there.
Where would you pee then?
At home. I came up with a system, like my body regulated itself in such a way that I would almost never have to pee. I genuinely remember like the two or three times I had to use the bathroom in school.
Wow.
I was very fussy about it.
Wow.
So yeah, poop though impossible. Pee also was a major thing for me. Now, after I finished school and I went to NIT, it was an experience. So, my hostel at that point, we had the capacity on my floor for 30 people, but it was, they had not finished constructing a new hostel, but taken the kids in for that batch of four. So, it was 50 people on our floor. There were three loos.
Wow.
All Indian. One section with urinals, one section for showers, and one section Indian loos. So my parents came to like drop me off in the thing or whatever. So we get into the room and we had like, I assumed, chalo, it's a hostel. There's going to be like four guys sharing room. It's going to be a bit of a mess. So we go in and then the guy's like, chalo, the guy who was already there, he's like, chalo, uncle, auntie, Dinkar, come on, I'll show you the bathrooms. And it's right at the end of the floor. So I'm right at the start of the floor. It's like a 40, 50 foot walk to three loos. So since then, I've been fine.
No, I can use public loose. You dropped out after the first year.
That might have been... No, I mean, I lived a year like that, man. I don't know how I did it, but... But it was a sea change. Like, I went from never using a public loo to pretty much just living like that.
Yeah. Indian toilets are best, bro. Subah ekdam aisa hot karke nikal jata ekdam.
Not... another thing is, we had one day somewhere in the middle of maybe 3 or 4 months in where the hostels didn't get water for 3 days. It was not a pretty sight. I did not poop the entire time.
You can't even go around.
I heard horror stories from people who would go then come out looking like they'd fought a war, going like, dude, there was a shit, then I shit on top of it. Yeah. And I think someone has to go in and shit on top of that. Because there was no water across the campus.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Poop mountain.
Oh my god.
Just imagining it gave me night terrors, so I never like went. Like, I didn't venture close to the bathroom at that point. People
the final
were, like,
version is that
people
poop
were
emoji
taking
coming
trips out.
Out
of town to use the bathroom. Like genuinely going like, I'm going to my uncle's place, he lives 2.5 hours outside Nagpur, I'm coming back after 2 days.
Yeah, we don't understand the importance. Like actually we like in Bombay get it very easy. Like where we can even go to like a Subway or a McDonald's and use their bathroom, and it's allowed legally now.
Yeah.
But like I see situations like even Mangalore back in the day when we didn't have proper toilets. And sometimes like there would be a like this one time I was in my great aunt's place, okay, and I'm like, auntie, can I go to the bathroom? She's like, no. I'm like,
what?
Why, there's a snake nesting over there, so you can't just go in the fields. Like that's how
the snake nesting over there.
Yeah.
So like, the snake gets the bathroom.
Yeah, because like,
listen, one of you is poisonous. Which one gets it, do you think?
Yeah. Like I don't want, like I'm sitting down, my pants are down, and then like something's
a
wriggling
snake
up my butt.
Yeah.
Like I'm used to it, but
snake's nesting in your butt now.
What?
Yeah. Malad or Mulund? There was a snake that came out of a lady's toilet.
Mulund,
yeah.
Yeah, Mulund happens like...
Those horror stories actually happen, right? Like rats jump out of toilets and frogs and
proper
stuff. Because they have the access, I suppose, but that's
frogs all,
man,
the time. Like we have this farm and there like it's proper toilet and proper ghar, and you still have frogs coming out.
I loved it, yeah.
Yeah.
There was one frog clueless how to go outside.
Like it was stuck in the...
In the house. Oh,
yeah.
I usually you find them in the bowl, just chilling.
That's so weird.
No, it's fine.
What do you do then? Like, if you flush it, does
their,
it go back?
You're in their territory, no?
I suppose so, but how do you get rid of it?
Oh, you just like tap the bowl and
it goes back.
And it freaks the fuck out and it leaves. Look, most animals...
It knows the way out, yeah.
Most animals, if they touch you, they get outcasted by their own this
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? So it's...
They do freak out.
Yeah, so I mean, they don't want to touch you more than you don't want to touch them.
Yeah.
Once you kind of internalize that idea, except for like and moths. Like moths don't actually attack you or anything. They're just bad at direction.
Yeah.
Because they're moths. You know what I mean? Like, they look... these are things that go towards the light unequivocally.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if like, there's a glare on your glasses, it'll go towards the glare. It doesn't know better.
Yeah.
So you just treat them like that and then they're fine.
Yeah, like I also was majorly scared of insects, lizards, like basically any type of living creature other than cats and dogs were out of bounds for me. Again, this like...
But that I think is a function of growing up in Dubai. You don't
it
see
is,
those
yeah,
bugs
all of
there.
This is a function of growing up in Dubai. Like pretty much my entire like prissy childhood led to this moment where it's like immersion therapy. They were like, here... All the insects, all the shitty bathrooms, deal with it. That 1 year has prepared me for like the rest of my
but
life.
Guess who made your life comfortable in Dubai? The Malayalis.
That's cool.
That's what it's all about.
Bringing it back.
So Dinkar, before we wrap up,
you
are from the music scene and you mentioned Rishu earlier.
I did, yeah.
And one of the big losses this past summer that we had in music.
There was a recent tribute concert to him as well that happened.
There was. Yeah. Because, man, he's literally impacted any musician you know who's been around for more than, say, like 5 years. He's impacted them in some way. So, like, he's literally given... He was the one guy around who would give people chances when no one else would.
Right.
And so, like, he had this annual compilation called Stupidities, which would feature, I think, pretty much any great musician right now. Had a moment where they were on that compilation.
Yeah.
He would do the Control-Alt-Delete gigs with Nikhil and Himanshu, which were, again, places where you discover amazing talent.
Absolutely. You had them last season.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had them last season, correct. So, the three of them used to do it together at one point. Plus, he'd have, like, gigs at... He was basically a dude who... I have seen him get paid 10K for a event he's organizing, whatever, spend, like, 8K of it on alcohol for himself, and then... borrow money to pay the musicians because he's like drunk off the money. But he would always take care of artists. Like any Rishu gig you ever played, like he used to organize the New Wave Festival, the first one he had at Goa. It was a 2-day fest, if I remember correctly, and free alcohol for everyone the entire time and food. It was the Plus, because he did it in Goa near Christmas, no audience turned up at all. Basically, it was like a camping trip for the entire indie music scene at the time.
Wow.
All of us were just trashed on some go-karting course in the middle of Goa. Which is fairly typical for a Rishu thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, an incredible
guy. But it was a bit
of
a shock when it happened also. Because I remember I was out of town and then my manager Utkarsh, he was like, he came in, oh man, this happened. I'm like, wow, that's...
Nobody had any idea. And like, so, I mean, it's not like I was very close to him or whatever. There were like a lot of people who were really close to him who also didn't know from what I understand. So like all of us, like I heard on the day off when basically messages started going around to everybody knew him saying like, this has happened. If I understand correctly, he had come back to Bombay at that point. And yeah, that's when it happened. But,
anyways, man, but that's one of those things that that gets kind of like swept under the rug a lot. Like, you know, everybody has those friends who drink a little and then they drink a little more than a little.
Yeah.
And then we all just kind of look
laugh
away.
It off. Yeah.
Yeah. And it just like when that happened, it started making me like go through my like, friends. And I just started like, I just called a lot of them up and said, hey, man, are you still drinking? Are you still drinking as much, man?
Yeah.
Because I, you know, like we've all had those phases. Like there was a phase where I would be drinking like a fish every day.
Yeah.
And then I got out of that. Now I don't drink it anymore. And it's, and I know those guys who I used to drink with, they're still drinking.
Yeah.
You still find them right there. And then suddenly you realize, oh man, this is way, like substance abuse is way more prevalent and kind of underlooked.
Also, it's easy to not see the signs if it's alcohol, right? You kind of just assume, it's almost always a social thing where everyone's drunk, but you're the one who's drunk everywhere, then that's a...
Yeah,
that's a,
no, I mean, even with pot, you know, you can't really tell because a lot of people, you don't even know when they've smoked and when they've not smoked. So you don't know how much they're smoking or where they're smoking. But it's legit. Like, and it makes everybody sit back and think for a second.
Man,
I remember like last year while I was on tour, mainly because traveling to new cities means like being off pot.
Yeah.
It basically meant that I was drinking more, like every evening, just like...
Yeah, because you substitute, right?
Yeah, like, so like just buying a quarter and feeling like my uncles who are just like, not the Desi Thara types, but at least I'm going for the old Monk or for the blenders to go with my Coke in the evening. Coca-Cola, I mean.
But that used to happen with me also on tour. I remember this one point I had been on tour for non-stop for some 45, 50 days. And the last thing I was doing was this weekend at Canvas in Delhi. And I listened to those tapes and like, I am drunk. I'm not drunk enough for it to sound like, oh, this guy's drunk. But I know in my head, like I was drunk to the point where it impaired performance. Because that's what happens. Like by the 15th, 20th night, you're like, I might as well have a drink before I go on instead of after. And then it becomes, oh, why not two before I go on?
I can imagine it's also harder for comedy because you feel like the drinking would help in, like, in theory.
Sometimes it does. Like not on a regular basis, like abusing your alcohol. But like I do this show, my solo show with one venue where they're allowed to like get your own alcohol.
Right.
So basically I do shots every time a joke doesn't work. So like by the end of the night, at the end of a 60-70 minute performance, I might have taken 8 shots of vodka neat. So then like so if I listen to my recording now, after the 40 minute, I'm hilarious. Yeah, I'm having a great time. But I have no idea what's coming out of my mouth.
Yeah,
so that's not the zone you want to be in.
Yeah.
Because you want to be in control of the room. Now they have bought in the idea that okay, we are drinking, he's drinking, fun, okay.
Yeah.
But then you can't play like that to the bigger room because you know that
you wouldn't do that in an auditorium, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's also this my solution to it was I started getting like I would have my drink before the show, but I would have it in hot water. So like I would have my old Monk, but in hot water, so all the alcohol evaporates.
Okay.
So by the time the drink makes it from the bar to me, like it's boiling water.
Right.
Most of the alcohol is gone. I'm just getting the taste of the old Monk, which gives me that mental satisfaction of, oh yes, it's going in me and it's fun. But that really helped me wean it off completely. And then I just stopped drinking.
With musicians, the thing is, typically we have sound checks like in the afternoons and then the gig is, so like you've done your sound check at 3:30, then the gig is at 10. So you have 6 hours to kill, right?
Yeah.
Typically, because most places you're playing, there's no immediately accessible place to go to. So you have 6 hours to kill at the venue. At some point, you're going to start drinking.
Yeah.
So that's, you have to wean yourself off of that.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah,
like,
that can be a huge...
That one thing we never spoke about with musicians or like with comics, like how do you stay in the zone to perform mainly? Because...
Man, I don't know. I think it's just like you keep on doing it because it's hard to get back into that same mental state to be able to perform it, right?
Yeah.
So for me, that those 4-5 hours between soundcheck and actual performance are a disaster. Like it just completely takes me out of it. There used to be a time where, like, if it's ever a Bombay performance, even if it's an hour's journey back, I'll go home and then come back because I need to be in like a familiar sort of space. But I think just with time, I've gotten used to the idea of being able to turn it on stage.
That's something to think about.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think
yeah.
we should...
And hey man, if you know anyone who's been drinking a little more than usual, have a conversation.
Yeah, AA is the way.
Yeah, is the way to talk.
But we've had a fun conversation. We spoke about chips, we spoke about movies, we spoke about your life, we spoke about pooping, we spoke about alcoholism as well. So eventually life is all about all of
physiology.
Yes.
So if you want to check out more of Dinkar, Bone Broke, Chip Review,
absolutely.
Where do they follow you?
The Chip Review on Instagram and Dinks Thinks on Twitter and Dinkar DV on Instagram.
Awesome. Super also listen to Geek Fruit, where Dinkar features his amazing thoughts on films and they cover a lot of different aspects.
Yeah.
I know because I produced the show, so I used to like really have fun producing it, irrespective of how much.
Yeah, I still listen to it
down.
Very regularly.
Yeah.
So.
And you can find us online. Akash is Kuji Mehta sometimes and not Kuji Mehta sometimes.
I mean, I'm both at all times. Let's just like let's not confuse.
I've been saying
them.
This for long now. I can't change it. Sorry.
That's true.
Yeah.
And Naveen is the House of Norona.
It's only House of Norona.
Sorry. House of Norona. and you can check out IVM.
Yes, if you like the show, then there are more shows on IVM. Who would have thunk? But these shows are there and you can follow IVM Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and get tuned into more shows. Yes.
Bye, you guys.
Bye.
See you next week.